and this is Coast Community Radio. KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Boy, that was quite something on that E-Town. You can hear E-Town every week, preceded by Thistle and Shamrock. Yeah, Friday afternoons is pretty cool. And it's almost time for Arts Live and Local. And the great thing about that is if you live here, or if you happen to live in Boutelier's Point, Nova Scotia, and like to know about Astoria, Oregon, and Clatsop County, and anywhere else, then you can find out right here on Coast Community Radio, your radio station, and the only public radio station in the area that tells it like it is. It is the last day of March. Holy moly, 2017, moving right along. This is Carol with a big shout out to Lander, Wyoming, and a beautiful family there, and a happy birthday to little Lena. Thanks so much for being here, folks. I want to wish you all Nowruz Mubarak, a happy Persian New Year, as in Iran. And let's start out with a little music from there, and then we'll bring it on back home.
تلخی نکند شیری زغنم، خالی نکند از می دهنم.
Oh gosh, this music is so beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. And this is from an album that is the Dastan Ensemble with Shahram Nazeri, and it's an homage to Molavi, who is Rumi, the poet Rumi, whom we, many of us, are already familiar with. Again, wishing you a very happy and peaceful and hopefully wise New Year in the Persian tradition, and that's Nuruz Mubarak. Well, I said we would be coming back home, and that's what we're going to do right now. I have Dwight Caswell. Couldn't be more home than Dwight. Hi, Dwight.
Hello, girl. Good to be here.
Dwight in his beautiful KMUN cap, I see.
I found out that by pledging another $10, I could get the hat, and I figured it was worth it.
Yeah. You bet. That was for a $60 pledge, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Last week on the pledge drive. Hey, if you didn't pledge and you're still interested, you give a call and talk to us. Not me right now. But Dwight's here to talk about something other than the pledge drive. That was over. And by the way, I had a big thank you to all of those who pitched in right here on the arts show. I know it was 2 weeks ago, but I was MIA. Actually, I wasn't. I was MIW. I was missing in Wyoming last week. And thanks to Roger Rocca for hosting this show. And thanks to all of you who supported Coast Community Radio during the arts show. Really appreciate it. So Dwight's here because he is representing, he along with Sarah Nebaker, who is not here, they are representing the Royal Nebaker Arts Scholarship, and I'm going to let Dwight tell you about it, and then as a special treat, we have the winner from last year right here with us, and she is wearing two hats today, and the amazing thing is, as far as I know, am I right, Drea? This is Drea Rose Frost. Drea, have you been on the radio before?
You know, I haven't. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's great, because Drea is doing double duty today, and she's a radio virgin. All happening at one time. Congratulations. It's a wonderful
thing.
So
this is a big moment in your life.
It's a big moment. Also, my third guest in the studio, who is not going to speak quite yet, but she will. She's shaking her head. She knows how it works. And that is Kara Maiko, and we'll tell you more about her in a minute. So, Dwight, what's the story on the Royal Nebaker Art Scholarship, and why did I want you to come in today?
To give people about a month to apply for the scholarship, the deadline's May 1st. Last year we had the one scholarship which Drea was awarded. This year we've got two scholarships because, people have been very good about contributing to the scholarship fund.
So what is the Royal Nebaker Scholarship?
Well, we have two, a $300 scholarship for high school students and $500 scholarship to pretty much anybody else. And what we're looking for is not necessarily the most experienced or the technically the best artist or anything like that, although we are quite fortunate with Drea. But we're looking for somebody who has a real desire, real fire for what they're doing, and has a sense of where they want to go with it. And Drea was exactly what we were looking for, because when we look at the artwork, we don't know whose it is. It's just there on the computer screen. We have the panel consists of me, Sarah Nebaker, Richard Roland, and Israel Nebaker, if he's not on tour. And we looked at the work that turned out to be Drea's and said, we really like what she's doing, but we think she needs some more experience doing figurative work. And that was exactly what she had asked
Wow.
Funds for.
Nice.
And we said, fine, we like her work. She knows where she wants to go and how to get there, because she had a specific idea of what courses she was going to take and where. So that's really what we're looking for.
And this this is visual arts that we're talking about in this particular Sky
the Two Rundown. And three-dimensional.
Two and three, of course. Because if you've got Richard Roland in there,
yeah,
he must have.
Yeah,
right,
he insists,
right,
yes.
Right. So, Drea, what made you even think of applying? Had you just you read about it or you heard about it and you thought, hey, every opportunity or what?
Yeah, I would say I heard about it and then I just think, you know, embracing all opportunities as an artist seem like good ideas to me. So I just applied. Yeah, I had a couple classes in mind and it was a great opportunity to take a class at Sitka.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. And we're going to be talking more about your art development with Kara in a little bit. So how does the high schools, the new part, the high school scholarship work?
Exactly.
Who are you looking for? Same.
Exactly the same. There's a written statement about their art and what they want to do with it, and we ask for 10 images of their work. And you can get at the moment, you can get an application form by going to info@nebuchadnezzarfund.org. Starting sometime next week when I get around to it,
mm-hmm.
you'll be able to download the forms online. And it's at nebuchadnezzarfund.org. It's a really simple application. It's nothing very involved, not a lot of long statements.
Mm-hmm.
And I emphasize that because I've talked to people up at the college and at a couple of high schools, and people seem to resist applying for these things because they think it's going to be very complicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I will say that last year we got a third to a half of our applications off your show. So we're hoping people out there are listening.
Yeah, this sounds like an incredible opportunity. Where are the funds coming from for the scholarship, especially if you're telling me that this year you're adding a scholarship? This is fantastic. So how does this happen? Is this from community? Is there a grant?
It's entirely from the community. It started when people wanted to contribute money after immediately after Royal's death. And we had the idea of starting the scholarship fund and making it a memorial fund. And we then had a fundraising dinner, as it happened on Royal's birthday next year.
Yeah.
And after that, we've had another fundraising dinner and a scholarship dinner. And we haven't got the date set yet, but it'll be probably the third week of May. We'll be awarding the scholarship and having the fundraising dinner at a very nice restaurant, but we can't say for sure which one yet.
You know what? I like that idea of it's a rollover right there. You award the scholarship to one or two people, and at the same time, you're building the scholarship money for the next folks,
yeah,
all at the same time. You know, it occurs to me that there are people in the audience who are not local who might not know who is Royal Nebuchadnezzar and why. Now, we know he has passed from what you said, but his corporal body has died. His body of art is still very much alive. And, of course, his reputation. Who is he and why do we want to make sure that he's continued to be remembered in this community?
Well, he's arguably the best artist ever to work in Astoria, at least in my opinion, and the opinion of a lot of other people, known better probably internationally than locally as an artist. But more than that, he was a great teacher. My soon-to-be wife, Rhonda Grudnick, got her start painting with him. And he was a great community leader, and he had a lot of influence. He worked on a lot of different causes for the community.
I think he was part of the Oregon Arts Commission at one point as well.
He was, yeah. And so yeah. he had a tremendous influence on the arts department in the college and on the community as a whole and the role of the arts in the community. So he was a man with a broad range of interests, and I actually, as a writer, did the last interview before he passed, and a fascinating man, just going over the history that he'd had as an artist. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think it's incredibly fitting, then, that the scholarship fund goes to young artists and any age artists. Drea is one of the young artists, although not high school. Let's make that clear, right? Wait, she's sure. going, hello. The other thing that Royal was involved in was printmaking. He sort of exploded the whole printmaking. The timing was perfect in this area, and we now have the North Coast Printmakers Collective.
I wonder how many of those people started in one of his classes.
I think most of them did. Yeah. And many of them had some kind of art background. And then, whoa, they switched right into printmaking. They were so inspired. And some of the others who have been here on the show or have shown in Astoria had not much of an art background, but were inspired to do so. Okay, so the logistics again, the date, the absolute last date that
May 1st.
May 1st, folks, that is a month from tomorrow. So give them the how to get an application address again.
It's info@nebekerfund, N-E-B-E-K-E-R, fund, one word, .org.
Okay. .org?
.org.
Okay, good.
We are a nonprofit.
Good. Good, for better and worse, yes. And if you have questions, you're not sure whether you should apply or shouldn't, is that the address for them to write also?
Yeah, right. Any kind of questions.
Any inquiry.
Yeah, right.
Just and do it now so that if you decide, hey, right, Drea, you just said, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And I want to add one other thing, and that is if anybody out there knows a talented, deserving high school student, get them to apply, because we had very few applications from high school students last year. We did inform all the high schools in the area, but they rely on guidance counselors to tell people about scholarships.
That's interesting.
And so it didn't really work out that well. So if you know somebody who's a high school student, please get them, have them apply.
Or if you're in touch with the art department in one of the high schools, talk to the art teachers.
I'll be calling them this next week.
Yeah, because I'm saying that's a good point. It's the guidance counselors who deal with scholarships.
But the students who might get the scholarship don't necessarily talk to a guidance counselor at the right time.
Exactly. Yeah. I hadn't realized that. So now, you already heard the voice of Drea Frost, who did win the scholarship last year. And you said you used it to take a course at Sitka?
Yeah, I took a few courses at Sitka, but the one primary course was a figure painting class, abstract expressionist figure painting.
And did it help?
Yeah, I mean, anything helps, really, right? It's just like being in that academic environment and being able to listen to the voices of other artists. Mm-hmm. And I think all of that stuff's really amazing.
And I'm thinking another thing that's quite wonderful is just the fact of being chosen to receive.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Yes, it's an honor. Mm-hmm. And now I will introduce Kara Maiko, who is the program director, the relatively new, is that right?
Yeah, just started middle of February.
Middle of February. Oh, very new, actually, at the Cannon Beach Arts Association.
Yeah.
And where did you come from, Kara? Have you been here all this time?
I have been here almost all this time. I've lived in Tillamook County for about 15 years, okay. And I've actually been a programmer here on KMUN for a few years. And
wait a minute.
I know.
What were you programming?
I had late night music, Music Magic Mayhem, and that was so much fun. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Right. I don't know that I ever saw you, though.
Oh, well, unless you're here at 1 a.m. in the morning
probably
on a Monday.
Not on Monday. Some nights, but not Monday. So. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So the reason you're here is because you're the spokesperson, in a way, of the Cannon Beach Arts Association.
Yeah.
And how this all ties together is, I'll let you tell, what is going on this weekend?
That
involves Drea.
Well, we have a reception of Drea's work, and it's going to be tomorrow at the Art Gallery. So that's 1064 South Hemlock in Cannon Beach. It's from 6 to 8. We're going to have free wine and some wonderful food donated from Fresh Foods in Cannon Beach, and wine donated from the Wine Shack.
Nice.
So it's going to be a very lovely spread. And
it's a lovely gallery.
It is a beautiful gallery.
I like that place.
Me
I
too.
Like that. Every time I go in, whether it's for a new show or just to look around because I'm in Cannon Beach. So what did Drea do to get a show tomorrow night that she's opening for?
Well, she is actually the recipient of our artist grant program. So we receive money from the city of Cannon Beach through their community grant. And she has an amazing body of work. She's an amazing person. And I absolutely love every single piece in this coming show. So I hope that I hope to be able to buy a piece, but I definitely hope every single piece sells. They're absolutely stunning.
That would be a dream come true, wouldn't it, Drea?
Yes, of course.
Thank you,
Kara. So that was the 2015-16 Artist Grant recipient.
Correct.
Boy, last year was your year, huh, Drea?
Yeah, well, I think I apply for everything, if we're being honest
yes,
about that.
Yes, no, that's exactly. That's
the worst that can happen is they say no. So,
right.
You know,
and
it
if they say no, you can apply again.
Correct.
Yeah, and I think that's really good advice to everybody out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's worth it because not everybody gets as lucky as you did last year. That was like your stars were aligned or
they
something.
They were aligned. So, yeah. I should have bought a lottery ticket.
So what is the artist grant and how did that benefit you?
Well, I mean, it gives me an opportunity to have my own show, which is a first for me. This is the first time I have my own very own show in a gallery.
Oh, nice.
And I just think that obviously will open up many doors for any artist to be able to create, have a year or whatever to create a body of work and have it on display and have the support of the gallery. And Kara's been amazing as my liaison through Cannon Beach Gallery. And it's a great opportunity, I think, and experience.
So what kind of work are we going to see? What
so
have you been doing?
This work is abstract landscapes that relate to the environment that we live in. Mm. Some of the pieces are, well, all of the pieces are painted on wood panels. And some of them I had designed with these insets. And I spent a year or more collecting interesting objects like organic and some non-organic pieces, mostly along the coastline, and I kind of incorporated them in a sculptural way into the insets.
So they're hanging on the wall, but some of them are actually 3D.
Yeah.
Beyond 2D.
Right.
What kind of materials, like plastic? And
yeah, a lot of, well, there is just so much, and I think just living out here on the coast, and if you do any of those beach walks, you do see a lot of it, and I've always been really compelled to, like, pick up while I'm walking because I feel like it's sort of our job as people who live here a little bit. And it's just a little thing. I mean, it's a little thing we can do, but
I think it's a big thing.
Yeah.
And I think everybody should be doing it, including visitors.
Yeah.
For sure.
I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, and it also, when you start picking up that sort of thing and it makes you think about your role on this planet and what kind of choices that, at least for me, this is what I think what I make when it comes to reusable plastic and that kind of, throwaway
mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and not all of the pieces are plastic. I did find other interesting shells, objects.
Woods, everything.
And it's sort of like the idea of elevating objects out of the environment that you found them in. They become like reliquaries or something. I don't know. There's just something interesting when you pull an object from where it lived before and you put it in a different context.
So did some of the found objects inspire the painting, or did you paint and then find things to insert, or all of the above?
I think both. Sometimes things, you know, they happen both ways. I definitely like had specific ideas with certain pieces on which objects I wanted in there. And it's hard to ever know if it will really work until you do it. So like sometimes you can have an idea about it and try to put it together, and it's just, it doesn't want to be that way, I guess. So
where do you work? Do you work at home?
Or I work at home.
You do. Mm-hmm. So your pieces are not 7 feet tall.
No, but I do have a few large pieces in this show.
Really?
I think that the grant offered me the opportunity to work larger than I normally would, because I had some funds to go ahead and buy large panels. Mm-hmm, it is fun to work big. I mean,
yeah,
I do enjoy it. But yeah, you need the space to, to do it in.
Either that or you move out and give over your.
Well, I mean,
so Kara,
I'm not going to lie. I had pieces leaning everywhere. In the house, so.
Nice. They're all in the gallery now.
Yeah.
Hopefully, as Kara says, they'll all sell, and then you won't have to bring. So, Kara, is the next is the artist for the next? It looks like that was for 2015-16.
Yeah.
So the 16-17 must be happening now.
Well, there's actually. Because of the transition, the staffing transition, we're actually going to be selecting that artist pretty soon. So
what should people do now that Dwight's talked about the Royal Nebucher Scholarship?
Yeah,
what do people need to do?
It's a pretty easy process. You can get in touch with me either by email or phone, and all of that information's on our website,
which is
canonbeacharts.org. And you can also stop by the gallery. One of our docents can talk to you about the program, or I'm there on weekends usually. Okay. So
is there a deadline on this, or you haven't set
not
the date?
Yet? We haven't set the deadline yet.
Okay.
I'm shooting for June 1, but that might be a stretch.
Okay.
So we do have some people who have submitted works already, and so they generally send a portfolio and a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty straightforward.
If somebody is... they're already making art, but they're not too sophisticated about applying for either a grant or a scholarship. As I asked Dwight, how do they find out? Will you help them figure out what to do?
Yeah. We're trying to be as open as possible to the different types of information we get from artists, because some people give us discs, some people will actually bring in some work, some people don't even have their work in a portfolio format. So we don't want to exclude anybody just because they don't have their work presented in one standard format.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually something that the community needs, is help with getting artists to develop their portfolio, and that's might be something that we offer in the future as a workshop.
That's a terrific idea, because that's a whole nother thing, is a lot of artists have trouble with that. Now, do you yourself make art, Kara?
I do, although I would say, and I'm really careful to say this, although everyone is an artist in some way, I don't call myself an artist because of the level of work that people like Drea put in, who they dedicate their lives to it. They do it every day. I do it when I can, when I have time, and I love doing it. But
what do you do?
A little bit of everything. I love oil pastels because I really like to work with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
So drawing and painting are also up there.
I love the way you said a little bit of everything. I am involved in the performing arts.
Right.
So when I talk about art,
everything.
I include everything, really, not just visual arts. But and Dwight is a photographer as well as a writer professionally. So he's also, in the arts. So, it's a good mix. So Drea... Big congratulations to you, not only for what happened last year, but for what is happening tomorrow. And I understand that on Sunday, there's a talk at 11 a.m. Is that happening?
Yes, there is.
Do you know about that, Drea?
I do.
Good, because you're giving it.
Yes.
Okay, good. So. You just like to, make sure.
There's mimosas, so champagne and orange juice will help.
You're going to get started before the rest of it.
Sounds like it'll be a friendly audience as well as a friendly artist. Okay, so the star of the moment in this studio is the community that supports the arts. And Drea Rose Frost, who has a show opening tomorrow evening between 6 and 8. And I suspect the art will be up during the day already. Is that right?
It is.
So if you can't be there in the evening, come on over during the day. The show is up through all month through the 30th of April, so you can see it. Come and have a look. Best of all is to come when the artist is there and check them out and talk to them about it and pick out your favorite and then find out all about it. And then, of course, you have to take it home. Right. There you go. Cannon Beach Arts Association. And Kara, Michael, thank you so much for coming in for being in touch, because I hope we get to work with you a lot.
I would love to.
I really appreciate you and Drea coming up from Cannon Beach. It's in Seaside. It's important that we hear from people from all over the county.
Wonderful.
And then some. So that's great. And Dwight Caswell from right here in Astoria, congratulations to you on your upcoming marriage. My God, how exciting. If that isn't art, let's hope it is. To you and Rhonda, another local artist. And again, the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Scholarship, the deadline is May 1st, and the address to write to right now is
info@nebuchadnezzarfund.org.
Nebuchadnezzarfund.org. And you did notice that Nebuchadnezzar Fund is an org, and so is Cannon Beach Arts Association. These are the organizations, along with the Astoria Visual Arts, that's supporting this show, and so many artists and organizations in this community that know how important the arts are in our lives. Art saves lives, and we need it more than ever right now. Thank you so much for coming in, Drea Frost, Kara Maiko, and Dwight Caswell.
Good to be here.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet. And I've got a little music for you. This music is actually from Carolyn Crusoe, although my next guest coming up is a different kind of music. So stay tuned. This is Coast Community Radio, arts live and local. That is Carolyn Crusoe. She also is an amazing hammer dulcimer player. And she is performing twice. Tonight, she will be at the Cannon Beach History Center. Boy, Cannon Beach is happening. Well, they always are happening. But this is 7 p.m. this evening at the History Center, which is the middle exit in Cannon Beach. You can find it. And then on Saturday, she will be in Long Beach on the peninsula, Washington Peninsula, at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center, also at 7 o'clock. She is a wonderful performer. And we may hear a little more of her a little later. But right now, I want to bring you something that is entirely different and coming up with my guests. Stay tuned for the North Coast Big Band. This is quite infectious music. Infectious in a good way. You know, I realize after I said that word, that's not the best of words. But this music is absolutely delightful. And I have here to talk about it Lee Stromquist and John Hammond from the North Coast Big Band. And put it on your calendar right now, and then Lee's going to tell you more about it. This is on Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 2nd of April. Wow. At the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, that's 16th and Franklin, 2 p.m., a nice afternoon concert, Jazz at the Pack, and this is a benefit, so we would love to see you there. And, I'm gonna bring it down. It's just about done. Hey, Lee, welcome.
Hi, Carol. Thank you very much for having us.
You bet. So, North Coast Big Band, first, tell us, and you can both answer back and forth, introduce yourselves or each other. That's always fun. And what does it mean, North Coast Big Band, as opposed to all the other North Coast things around here?
Well, it comes from a larger jazz group. Jazz groups go from two or three players all the way up to big bands or orchestras. Jazz orchestras, and the standard instrumentation runs around 17, 18 people, and that's what the arrangements are. They're written for that instrumentation, four trombones, four trumpets, five saxes, and
wow.
Rhythm sections.
So. And that's your standard big band?
That is.
So is that like the folks who would play for the dances, like in the Rose, whatever that is, what it is in New York, when I went and got to dance there? Would that be a big band?
I would think
too?
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it sounds about right, that number.
Yeah. The only difference, sometimes they add a string section to some of the bands, you know. But that's pretty much the standard size. And
the difference in the music between the big band and the symphonic band, for example?
Big bands originally dance music evolved out of, through the ragtime through Dixieland to swing music, even into rock and roll, and there's some music still being written for it today.
Yeah, and you play?
I play the trombone, and my colleague here, John Hammond's also in the trombone section. And
we pretty well represent the trombone section here today.
I love it. Two trombonists in the room. They did not bring their trombones, folks, so you're safe.
Trombone players, you know, have no gigs or no extra activity, so we're always available to do an interview.
Oh, I see. Wait, I'm going to play my littlest violin in the world. My sympathies. This is something I've always been curious about. The difference between the trumpet that has the three buttons and the trombone that has the thing that you, I'm sure there's a better word than thing, but that you...
Slide,
thank you. Which one's harder to play?
I think they're both kind of equally difficult in their own ways. I like to think the trombone is one of the easiest to teach. We were both former teachers.
Right, music teachers. You were in Warrenton, is that right?
Right?
John Hammond in Warrenton and Lee Stromquist in Astoria. Thank you both for the many years of teaching people who are now playing music here and everywhere else. That's great.
I think trombone's really easy to teach them to start at the beginning, but it's one of the more difficult instruments to learn to play really well. Trumpet has its own problems, particularly for big band, because of the extreme range that's expected out of trumpet players. Mm-hmm. So they're both quite demanding.
For me, the idea that you get that slide just right,
that's one of the things that makes it so difficult.
Yeah.
And then to be able to do it really quickly, too.
Yeah, yeah. You don't use WD-40, do you?
No.
Okay. So what are you going to be doing this Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center?
Well, we're doing a variety of music. We're doing traditional big band music, Duke Ellington, Count Basie. We're even doing a Maynard Ferguson from his band. He did the Gonna Fly Now Rocky theme. We're not playing that. We're playing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a whole lot of features that we're featuring some of our more outstanding or, I guess, more
careful
outstanding
what you're
players.
Saying.
We have some really outstanding jazz players, and it's great to feature them.
So who are they and what music, if you want to say?
Well, we have Peter Hinsbeck, who lives down in Manzanita, who's a wonderful, world-class jazz player, plays saxophone. And he brought a tune that he recorded in Germany. He lived in Waldorf, our sister city, for 8 or 9 years working for, I guess, Intel? I'm not sure who it was. And he played in a big band over there, and one of the pieces one of their members wrote was this on Hellentagen, which is an interesting piece, kind of cross between jazz and rock. And he's going to play a soprano saxophone on that.
Oh, wow.
Really super interesting.
So is it a solo piece, or are you in the background?
Well, we're in the background.
You are.
And
okay.
He's the featured player. And
okay.
John will tell you about some of our others.
Okay. And I just want to mention, apropos of what you just said, that's one of the beauties, I would think, because I do it with dance, but even more so with the music, is that if you take your instrument with you, or if you can even borrow one, you can play with people all over the world, because some of this music is the
absolutely
same kind of, yeah. Exciting.
My friend Bob Joyner
plays
trombone, as you well know.
Yes.
And he's traveled every place he's gone for vacation or on a trip or something. He takes his trombone with him, and he told me a story once about going to New Orleans, and, you know, they just went into a jazz club and listened for a while and started talking to people there. He wound up staying there for 2 months playing with this jazz band.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah. He's
it's
wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. John?
Well, we definitely need to recognize Terry Dahlgren. Terry is the band director at Seaside. He's playing a couple really gorgeous solos, one on flugelhorn, or they're both on flugelhorn. Really nice job. And then we have Mike Evans, who's a retired sheriff, lives in Garibaldi. And when I'm thinking of high notes on trumpet, I think of I think of Mike because he's got a tremendous high range, and he'll show that off.
Nice.
Sunday afternoon.
So do you think he would play taps when he was a sheriff? You think he would go into the
jail? He may well have.
You never know.
He played with the Glenn Miller Band
goodness.
In the early 60s and 70s.
Wow. So the music was obviously deep and important to him. Maybe the other was the day job, kind of.
I think that's because probably
true. Although it seems like with the two of you and also Mr. Dahlgren, also a lot of you teach as well as make music. And so you stay in the music zone and still can earn a living.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have almost every band director around here in there. Rachel Lake from across the river, Neil Wacko's playing baritone sax with us.
Great.
And her seventh grade son is playing fourth trumpet with us. So,
terrific modeling, too, for
Absolutely.
The adults. You have a son who...
I have a son who's a professional horn player.
Right,
and
right.
He plays up in Portland, Vancouver.
Right, and comes here once in a while and
he's
plays for...
He's here fairly often.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, right now he's teaching one of Astoria's students... A French horn lesson.
There you go. Oh, lovely. John, are there others that,
Dave Drury, who you're familiar with,
of course.
Is going to be playing several guitar solos. So it's always nice to feature him.
I've never seen him on horn, but guitar, yes.
He started on trombone, actually, originally.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had started as a trombone
player. I did not know
that,
but you know what he is doing tonight. So that's your concert is Sunday, but tonight, Dave and Todd Peterson and Shelley Loring are all playing, they call it the Equinox group, and they are at Gala at 8 o'clock tonight. And that's going to be some gorgeous music, too. I love the combinations and the way all you musicians come together and drift off to play with other groups as well.
Absolutely.
So,
that's one of the wonderful things about it, keeps our musical community together.
Yeah, and this is quite a musical community. Well, having you playing in this band, this is the North Coast Big Band, I think makes an incredible difference for the community, not just for the audiences, but for people who might want to locate here. And they discover, oh my God, there's all this music here. This is it. I'm home. You know, and they join you, and we all benefit.
It's amazing, you know, how Astoria has become an artistic community, musical community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Music and art and culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Not just for the young. Say we three here, yes.
And we're not all featuring instruments. Ken Kirby is going to be doing a couple Frank Sinatra tunes, singing.
Playing the drums at the same time.
At the same time.
Well, I know he plays drums. Wow, how
and
fun.
And half the community's bought cars from him.
Yes,
Lums, you know,
including
so.
Me.
Me
including
too.
Me. Oh, how fun. Okay. So this is. Do you have a name for this concert?
Well, we just called it Jazz at the Pack.
Jazz at the Pack. And am I right that this is a benefit for the Pack?
Every penny we take in at the door goes to the partners.
Yeah. Okay. So this is an incredible opportunity to enjoy yourself, folks, and to make sure that you take a stand on not just supporting the arts, but supporting the venues that support the arts, that
Absolutely.
Hold the arts. The Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin. You can get your tickets at the door. This is 2 p.m. this Sunday, the 2nd of April. And thank you to my guests, Lee Stromquist and John Hammond, both trombone players. Okay.
Thanks
thank so
you,
much
Carol.
For coming
thank
in.
You.
You bet. Okay. And I'm going to play a little of, actually, I played their piece, so now I just want you to hear a little of Carolyn Crusoe's Hammer Dulcimer. Again, she's going to be at the Kennedy History Center tonight and at the Performing Arts Center on the Peninsula in Long Beach tomorrow. Have a listen, folks. Thanks for being here. with Carolyn Crusoe in the background. Let me just tell you that Loretta and Patsy together again is tonight at 7 o'clock at the NCRD Performing Arts Center in Nehalem, and they were on the air last week, I believe, with Roger Rocca. And Sandtrap has Red and Ruby at 7 o'clock. That's swing and jazz. And Sand Dune, June Bugs, The Adrift, Low Key, Peninsula Players at the River City Playhouse with Charlie Brown at 7 o'clock, and the Astor Street Opry Company with The Real Lewis and Clark Story, or How the Finns Discovered Astoria, and the Coaster Theater with Mousetrap and the Hannon Playhouse in Raymond with Opal's Baby, all kinds of theater, plus a poetry fest all weekend at the Huffman, a ghost conference all weekend at the Seaside Convention Center, and tomorrow night, of course, Cannon Beach Gallery with Drea Frost. And the Liberty has a John Cougar Mellencamp tribute band at 7 o'clock. And the Sou'Wester has Boys Keep Swinging. That's a David Bowie tribute. While the Burke and Birkenfield have Girls Love Rockets. Go figure. Look at those two bands. Gearhart Art Walk is 2 to 5. Seaside Art Walk is after that, all tomorrow. Cannon Beach Imprint Gallery has a grand opening. And Redmond Hall in Skamakaway is photography Saturday and Sunday. And then the Performing Arts Center with the North Coast Big Band and Labyrinth at Grace. And right now I have something that is really, really important and wonderful for our community. Janet Weidman is here to tell us about an event that is happening on April 4th, which is this Tuesday at 7 p.m. And this is a Martin Luther King event like none you've probably experienced in this area. So welcome, Janet.
Oh, thank you for having me. Glad to have you here.
You bet. Tell us what this event is.
Okay. It's the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech, Beyond Vietnam, A Time to Break Silence. And it was exactly 50 years ago to the day of April 4th that he gave the speech to about 3,000 people were in attendance at Riverside Church in New York City.
Where I used to folk dance. It's a gorgeous place with amazing acoustics, too. I wish I'd been there for that. But and then,
so this event is going to be an audio presentation of the speech. The entire speech will be played. And we will have a slide presentation with historical pictures of his family and events in his lifetime.
Where is this happening?
This is at Grace Episcopal Church. That is the location.
Okay, and that's 1545
Franklin Avenue. Yes, right. And it's from 7 to 8:30 in the evening. And again, we'll have slide presentation at the same time that the audio presentation is going on, his entire speech. And after the speech, we want to invite everyone who's there, if they would like, to sing some of his songs, some of the his favorite hymns. Precious Lord, Take My Hand is one of his very favorites. We will also have a solo by Dinah
Urell.
Yes.
Oh,
she's
wonderful.
Going to come in and sing one solo.
Right.
And then after we've sung for a little bit, we'll have quiet, if anyone wants to stay and have a little bit of quiet in the candle.
Will there be an opportunity for people to offer some of their recollections, perhaps?
That would be something we could do right at 8:15 to 8:30 would be a good time for that.
I'm thinking that I believe it was the reason I said this is an event like probably one that most people have not experienced is that most of us know the I Have a Dream speech.
Exactly.
Many people, most people I hope, know also that Martin Luther King Jr. was very much involved in civil rights. But a lot of people still don't know. Many people do, of course.
Yes.
But a lot of people don't know how involved he was beyond the one area that that folks look at, think of civil rights as African-American situation. And actually, he was way more deeply involved.
Way more, yes. And he connected the dots between, he said, look at this. Civil rights is not the only only thing here. We need to stop this war.
Yeah, and actually, that as far as I'm concerned, stopping the war is about civil rights and human rights, basically, for everyone to have freedom and the liberty to live. Yeah. And so he connected poverty and war and
And he did say that he is the one who coined the triple evils of racism, militarism, and extreme materialism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think,
and the greatest purveyor of violence in the world was the United States of America, his own government.
Unfortunately, criminally and tragically, and this is my opinion, this is why he was murdered a year later, exactly.
Exactly 1 year later
to the day. I don't think that was a coincidence. No. It wasn't so much the I Have a Dream speech. It was that he took a stand on the war in Vietnam and poverty, and he was involved in so many different aspects.
To speak up and say that. And it was very controversial, of course.
It
and
was controversial
still
then.
Be now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate those of you who are putting this event together, because I think it's, again, absolutely imperative that we all remember and that this is nothing new, and that it's important for us all to step forward and speak out.
And his speech is very moving. It's also very much about compassionate love. So even though there is the war topic, and he is drawing the dots, connecting the dots all the way through, and it is very well done. He does an excellent job of going from thing to thing all the way through.
But what did you say about compassion?
But the compassionate love theme is there all the way through the entire speech.
So would you say that this would be what ages?
All ages. Yes, but the children probably wouldn't want to sit through the whole speech because it's over 40 minutes, 45 minutes, I think.
But it's
but there is
the
child care. Child care is available, and it's free. It's a free event, and you know, it's open to everyone. Everyone is welcome, and there is child care. Yes.
Okay. Well, I would love to think that some of the high school social studies teachers are sending their students for extra credit to come and
that would be good
and learn.
Yes,
and learn American history. This is American history.
Because it is. It's historical.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Dinah's going to do a piece that is just absolutely gorgeous.
It's going to be pretty. Yep.
So there will be beautiful music and time for quiet meditation as well.
And there's a couple songs we will all sing. We will sing Take My Hand.
Nice. Precious.
Precious Lord, take my hand.
Yeah. Right. So this is, again, happening this Tuesday, April 4th at Grace Episcopal, 1545 Franklin.
Yes.
7 to 8:30.
And if it runs over, it's not a big deal.
Right. But, people can hang out. And thank you for, I must say, Grace is very generous. As a matter of fact, the Labyrinth Walk is at Grace on Sunday.
That's right.
From 3 to 6.
Yeah.
And then this event is on Tuesday from 7 to 8:30.
Yeah. Great.
It's fantastic. It's terrific. And there is a piece about a commemoration that was done on MLK's birthday in, I think it was either Nehalem or Cannon Beach. And so it behooves us here in North Clatsop County, and people are welcome from anywhere and everywhere and all ages and stripes. And let's learn a little something and enjoy each other's compassionate love.
Yes.
Right.
And thank you for having me.
Thank you for making this happen. And thanks for making sure that Astoria keeps its character and welcoming character alive and well.
Exactly.
Yes. Janet Weidman, my guest. And now it's time for Free Speech Radio News, which I think Martin Luther King would have appreciated. KMUN Astoria, 91.9 KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 Coast Radio.org. Thanks for being here, folks.